Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, B-Fan Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and as always, thank you for giving me your time. Today I'm here with
Sasha.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, Sasha. You know, where you're from, what you do, what you study, anything like that.
Okay. Hey. Sasha Lawrence. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I study psychology. I'm really into wellness, mental health, all of that. And that's it.
Easy to talk. Yeah. Okay, being from New York, what is that like? I know it could be labeled as a hectic city, or is it a fun city to grow up in? Like, how do you describe it?
Being from New York is the most amazing experience ever, like, genuinely. I think there's a New York stereotype or, like, a box that people put New Yorkers into, and I'm like, I never fit that box. I always get, you don't sound like you're from New York. I can't believe you're from New York, but, like, my experience was really unique to me, and being from New York is not a monolithic experience. Like, there's just so much beauty in coming from the city. It's so diverse. It's so fun. There's so much to do. You never get tired. Yeah. I truly love being from New York.
So what are your favorite parts of being from New York? Like, what were your favorite things experiencing growing up that you feel like are unique to that city?
I think for me, there's so many funny, like, New York stereotypes that are actually true, like having a popular type of coat or, like, wearing certain things or being dressed up. But I think there's, like, this new New York culture with, like, white influencers that's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
Because, like, people are saying, like, the white New York influencers are kind of boring, but I'm like, they're not representative of what New York is really like.
Yeah.
So I think, like, for me, I know it's different for other people, but something that I love about growing up in New York is the fact that I was able to do so much exploring. Like, I was never at home. As soon as, like, I got to middle and high school, I really ventured out. I was always in the city because I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So I always took the train to the city. I always, like, was just trying new foods, trying new things. The thing about New York is they have every type of cuisine, and you just know it's good. Like, you don't need a recommendation. In LA, I'd be like, have you tried it before? Like, do you know if it's good? Yeah. But in New York, you can really go into a hole in the wall and have the best experience ever.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, when people say it's a melting pot, it genuinely, like, I could be crying on the street, nobody cares. Like, I just, you'd get to go about your day and you get to be authentically yourself. And I feel like coming to California, that's not something that I experience a lot with people. Like, there's this fake niceness. And I feel like in New York, people are actually very driven by community. They really love on each other, but they also keep it real with each other.
Yeah. And so that actually leads into the next question I was going to ask you, was like, how did your experience in New York sort of prepare you or show differently than what you get here in Los Angeles? Because you've been here since what, freshman year? Okay. So what's that, like, 3 years?
Yes.
How has it been, you know, comparing and contrasting?
I think California has a lot of different beauty standards and just different standards for people overall. Like, the culture here is, like, light skin, skinny. You have to have, like, I don't know. It's just, it's this weird, I'll say when I first got to California, I didn't feel like I felt accepted for being me.
Yeah.
I didn't feel accepted as a dark skinned woman. I didn't feel, like, empowered in a sense. I feel like, honestly, it helped me derive a true sense of self-confidence, like, from within, rather than trying to seek external validation, which I think everybody does at some point, but you kind of grow out of it. Well, some people never do.
Yeah.
But I think coming to California was really different because I wasn't used to, I'm not used to a culture of, like, facades or, like, transactional relationships or doing things just, like, for the plot or to figure out, like, if you can ascend the social ladder and, like, all of that. I think as a person, when I first got here, I struggled a lot because I'm really down to earth. And so being here kind of makes you feel like you have to participate. And if you're not, you're doing something wrong.
No, I get that. Yeah. People always ask you, like, what are your campus involvements and this, this and that. And I'm like, dang, I have some, but I don't have, you know, all the ones that everybody else, that they say they're part of this club and this club and this consulting thing and this accounting thing and this and that. And I'm just like, bro, I'm just here, you know?
Literally.
And, but I've always been that type of person that never liked sort of joining a club because I felt like it was, like, too restrictive on my time. Like, I like to be out and about. Like, I like to go do this, and I like to go do that, and I like to meet this person and go see that person and go do this. And sometimes I feel like if I'm in a club, I'm kind of restricted from wanting to do what I want to do. And Yeah, so that's kind of why, like, I never fall into, like, certain type of clubs. But, you know, the fraternity thing is always nice. You know, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, and then you're part of...
Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
So, yeah, so joining that has, I guess you could say it's kind of like a club, but it still gives me that freedom to, you know, meet all these different people and still have all these different opportunities. And I'm not stuck into one career path, one goal, one this, one that. And so... just being multifaceted has always been important to me. Yeah.
It's definitely important to me, too. I know I'm going to be a multi-hyphenated person, creator, or whatever you want to say. And I think, honestly, I've had some... I'm not a box checker. Like, I do things that I actually want to do.
Yeah.
So, honestly, whenever I did things to check boxes, like, when I first got here, I was like, I actually hate this. And I'm actually not that great at this. And I'm actually probably letting some people down. Yeah. And I actually probably should quit and do something else that I actually really want to devote my time to.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I started actually devoting my time to things I was passionate about, I feel like I flourished a lot more. And honestly, I feel like Greek life is such an interesting conversation sometimes. Like, for me, sometimes my sorority life can feel kind of restricting
mm-hmm.
just because I'm so committed and so involved in so many things that I don't have a lot of outside time for other things. And mm-hmm. so I think I'm in a period of my life where I'm scaling back and really trying to pour into myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more recently, I'm neurodivergent. So I think more recently I've just been trying to figure out, like, okay, how do I consistently regulate my nervous system?
Yeah.
How do I have balanced levels of dopamine and norepinephrine? How do I, like, take care of myself in a way that allows me to pour into other people's cups who I really care about?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that journey is one that, like, requires you to step back, honestly.
Yeah. And you really like the sweets, right? The bake, the bakeries, all the different types. So how did you get into that? And, like, what role does that play in, you know, you being you?
I'm a foodie. I think I got into, well, my stepsister, Gael, she's not even my official stepsister. Our parents dated and we just got really close. They're not close anymore, but we are. And so when I was like 15, she had me just doing a lot. Like, we were always outside, always having fun. But something that we always did at the end of the day was go out to eat and then get a sweet treat after.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've always been a foodie. And my mom, like, she tells me, like, when you were in my belly, you know, I was eating Thai food. I was doing this and the third. So I always had the taste buds for stuff like mm-hmm. that. But I feel like I really had, like, a monumental moment with food. In my journey into, like, just, I like taking pictures of food. I like the culinary arts. I like all of that. So I think that started, like, more when I was in high school and I ventured out on my own. And food is something that I feel like really invites community into your life,
mm-hmm.
like sharing food, sharing recipes with people, and being able to try new things is just something I love. I think I love novelty. And mm-hmm. so wherever I go, if there's an opportunity to try something new, like a new sweet treat, like even on my USC application, they said, what's your favorite snack? And I vividly remember there's this place called Prince Tea House in New York. And I put, like, I like the Millie Boba crepe tea cake and it's delicious. So I think food helps me. Honestly, I use food to cope sometimes.
Yeah.
It makes me really happy.
Yeah.
But also it's fun to share with others.
Yeah. So, okay, psychology major and then you like food. So have you ever thought of, like, mixing the two?
You know what? I have. But then I started to feel like I was analyzing my own food habits and then it became too much. Like, something I learned recently is, like, with ADHD, sometimes you binge eat.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you have, like, really strong cravings. Also, being a woman and, like, you know, cycles and all of that,
mm-hmm.
that's a factor. And so I recognize the times where I'm using food to cope emotionally or, like, fill a void. And so it's made my relationship with food really interesting. So I feel like I don't like mixing food and psychology because I want to be able to have an enjoyable experience without thinking about it too much.
Yeah. So let's take a step back. You know, you're from New York, came to L.A., but have you been out of the country at all?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's tie everything in now. So, you know, being from New York, coming to L.A., experiencing different foods from those two places. But, like, how has food, you know, outside of this sphere, you know, of America changed you or sort of opened your eyes up to things that you feel like you've never seen?
Well, I should add that I'm West Indian.
Okay.
So I'm Jamaican and Haitian. Yeah. And I grew up eating, like, the food from both of those cultures a lot. And honestly, I've traveled my whole life. Like,
yeah.
I think my first flight to Puerto Rico was when I was a few months old. And my mom, she used to actually work for JetBlue. So I have flight benefits still. I've been all over the Caribbean and I love it. So I think, like, You know, it's so funny. In Barbados, they have bake, but in Trinidad, they have roti. In Haiti, they have Johnny cake. Like, there's all these different, like, dough-filled foods that are kind of the same, but are mm-hmm. different for every single culture. And that's yeah. something that I can really appreciate. I know in Trinidad, they have bus up shot. Like, it's all very different, but I feel like food, like, it's the same kind of everywhere, but mm-hmm. just with a little twist on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it so cool. I've loved traveling. Like, I remember the first time I ever went to Greece, I had an octopus tentacle. It had the suction cups on it and everything, and it was grilled, but it was seasoned so well. And I was like, wow, this looks like something I would never eat, but it actually tastes so, so good.
What did it taste like?
It's kind of like rubbery, but mushy. And then like the suction cups kind of stick to your mouth.
Oh, man.
It's an interesting texture and experience, but like it genuinely tasted so good. And I feel like it's made me less nervous to try other things. Like I yeah. love Asian cuisine. That's probably my top favorite cuisine ever. Like,
okay.
Do you curse on here?
Or no? Yeah, I'd be cursing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm a little dumpling whore. I can't lie. Like, that's something that I eat consistently, like soup dumplings, all of that. I love all the different, like, I know in Korean cuisine they have raw marinated crab. Like, it just, the list is endless. And yeah. so, like, I love the fact that I'm Caribbean and I have my own cultural roots and, like, understanding of food and the food, like, from where I come from. But then seeing how it gets diversified in other places is super cool.
Yeah, I got to do the little 23andMe thing to see, you know.
You do?
Yeah, what my components consist of. Because I know so many people from so many different places and all of these interesting backgrounds. And I just want to know more about mine so I can sort of, you know, step into it, have some pride about it. Because, you know, my biggest thing is I'm just from Detroit. And so there's nothing wrong with that. But it will also be fun to kind of see what my components consist of so I can sort of go check that out and see if it's something there that can help me find myself even more. And, mm-hmm. you know, even just being here in Los Angeles, I've been able to find myself more because I wasn't at home. And it's nothing wrong with being at home. And I say this all the time, but anytime I talk to, like, a kid or somebody my age or anybody that hasn't left where they are, I encourage them to just leave and go somewhere else because they get to see components of themselves that they don't really see when they at home. And we get so comfortable in our home sphere that we forget that it's okay to change. And, you know, we probably don't change because we don't see a reason to. If everything, yeah. don't fix it if it ain't broke. You know exactly. what I'm saying? So sometimes you got to break it. you got to go. So, yeah.
I definitely agree. I always tell people to leave home, too. My mom was pissed when I left home because I have a special needs sister. So I think I felt a little bit of guilt about leaving mm-hmm. home because I didn't want my mom to have to take care of her all on her own. But leaving was the best decision I ever made. And what people don't realize is, like, exactly what you said. There are different versions of yourself that come out wherever you go. So, like, I think energetically, you're just, I think each place brings out a unique identity, version, and vibration mm-hmm. out of you. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you don't leave, you'll never know what it feels like to experience that different version of yourself. Like, even when I'm on vacation, the funny thing is, with free will, you can pretend to be anyone.
Yeah.
You can literally be, I know people say being delusional and, like, all that stuff, but, like, truly, you become how you feel or yeah. how you act.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm really big with, like, manifestation, meditation, growing my relationship with God. And it's, like, I feel like people don't understand how much they have the power to change their life just with their words yeah. and, like, how they act. Like, mm-hmm. if you're not intentional about the energy that you're putting out, that's the energy you're going to get back.
Yeah.
So it's, environment is important.
It reminds me of, like, you know, creativity and imagination are so important. And I utilize them today because, you know, I work with, like, the cameras and stuff. And mm-hmm. so even when doing that, I get a bit anxious because, like, I'm also thinking about the person that I'm recording. I'm like, damn, what if they don't, you know, really want to be in front of the camera right now? So I always try to take their side into perspective. And then I'm like, well, I got a job to do tonight. So it's like I got to sort of step through. So it's always fun to see how I'll get comfortable recording in one area because I'm like, all right, I'm cool here. I'll establish myself here. But then I realize, like, damn, when I look back, it's going to be extremely one-sided. So I always got to, like, hype myself up and remind myself that I could do, like, whatever I want. So I was recording a concert last night for my boy Toby, and my friend Giovanni was performing, and then it was a bunch of other guys that were like really talented, you know. And I'll step into that right quick. I've been enjoying like small things more, if that makes sense. I came to the realization that everything doesn't have to be like viral, or, you know, it has to blow up. It'd be the things with like no likes that'd be like the greatest thing in the world. It'd be the artist that nobody knows that is like the most exciting thing to experience. And so just being in that sphere last night, it was a small concert, you know what I'm saying? But to understand that my homie was the one who, like, he put it on, he found the venue, got the insurance, got like a sponsor, I'm pretty sure, got the loan to get the venue and stuff like that. And then he brought all these different artists together. It was a guy there from Atlanta last night. He was performing in LA at this small venue. It was, it wasn't the biggest, but it was like, just the essence of it was like, we was in there hype.
Like, even
I don't even think it was 100 people in there, but it felt like you was at Rolling Loud or this concert, that concert. And I realized I would rather be doing that than always be going to the biggest concert, seeing the biggest thing. And there's nothing wrong with going to see, like, you know, Lil Durk or Drake or Lil Wayne or those people. But it's also extremely exciting to come and experience these guys as, you know, just trying to make a name for themselves or just doing something. And when I look at people, I'm like, damn, he's going to get old one day. I'm going to get old and we're going to remember this.
Exactly.
And so just, you get to become a part of somebody else's experience and memories, and I'm there just recording. And so I've been having a lot more fun just realizing where I'm at. Occidental College has something called, no, I didn't go to the Apollo night, but they got another night. I forgot what it's called, but it was just, you see these people doing all these different dances and all these different acts, and, you know, they probably might end up in the most ordinary job ever, but, like, in this moment in their life right now, they feel like they're on top of the world because they in a dorm and everybody screaming and chanting and it's this and that, and they practice this and they practice that. So just being able to watch and experience that sort of helped me just enjoy life more for what it is right now. And, like, even being whatever cameraman I am now, I'm just out here, you know, doing it because I enjoy doing it. And I sort of get to see myself grow in the process. And that's another big thing that I got out of falling in love with the small moments. Because right now, I just get to see myself get better at editing. Every video that I do,
you get better.
I find something else to do. I'll be like, oh, shit, I could do this. I'll be like, oh, I didn't know. I didn't realize I could do that. And I'll be like, damn, let me try this out. Let me try that out. And, you know, nobody, as long as you make something look intentional, nobody's ever going to question it. You know what I'm saying? So
that's true.
If I mess up on a video, nobody will ever know because I didn't say, oh, I messed up on the video. It'll be like, exactly. Oh, he did it on purpose. You know what I'm saying? And so it's extremely fun to just take note of the small things. Now, what was I talking about before that?
I want to comment on that.
Oh, go ahead.
I think I'm somebody who's always looking at the bigger picture. And so more recently, I've been looking at the small things. Mm-hmm. And it's so enjoyable. Like, my food account, for example, it has like 90 followers. Like, don't nobody be liking my little posts. Yeah. But I'm like, it doesn't matter because to me, my account is the most aesthetically pleasing thing. Yeah. I go on my account and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just excited. Love how it looks. Exactly. And it feels good to me. And so I think there was one point, like, I feel like, you know, I feel like I'm a really profound speaker. I have so much to say. I be posting my little TikTok videos. I'm like, it's not going nowhere. But at the end of the day, when I think about it, I'm like, I don't know if the point really is to go somewhere all the time. Sometimes it's just nice to get it out. Sometimes it's just nice to feel like I'm expressing myself.
Yep.
And not everything needs to be. I remember I was talking to my parents and they were like, you need to find a way to monetize. I'm like, first of all, what do you know about monetizing? Like, that is not your generation. But also, no, yeah. I don't have to. I can just enjoy it as it is right now, and that's enough for me. And I think not doing things that have to be so, like, I feel like taking the focus off of that thing being received by people makes it so much easier to just show up.
Yeah, and, you know, people always say, you know, nothing in life comes free, but all the best things in life are actually free. I mean, like,
yes.
YouTube is free. Like, it's, I don't have to pay
can
for
we
anything.
Talk about it?
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many different people and aspects of the YouTube.com. I've been on that website since I was, like, extremely young. Before I was even supposed
Me
to be on there.
Too.
And you get to experience so many different cultures, so many different subcultures, so many different other things. You find
literally
genres of music you never knew existed. You find these YouTubers that's just talking in a room
and
somewhere in some random
like, I love the niche personalities that I can't explain to anybody else, but I'm like, I be trying to put people on. I'm like, I don't think y'all are hearing this right now. Yeah. Like, it's not, it doesn't have to be a profound message. Like, just funny stuff, like laughter, jokes. Like, I love that YouTube is just a mecca, just a place where people could just be.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's enough of that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, everything feels so curated. Mm-hmm. And so, and something else that I've been living by is like, in my little spirituality books that I read sometimes,
yeah,
like something that I keep seeing is like, don't pick the life of like what it, you think it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Pick the life of what it actually is. Like, don't pursue things because you think it's supposed to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. Just do what feels good and you will actually be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I think our culture doesn't preach that enough. And I'm like, I feel nervous for some of these people in the younger generations because I think they're getting the wrong messaging. Mm-hmm. I know, because I know I was getting the wrong messaging.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just now doing a whole 360 and revolutionizing what I view success to be. So I'm like, I really hope people aren't out there comparing themselves as strongly as I used to,
yeah,
or like just having the journey that I did with dispelling some of those things, because really it's not that serious.
Man. And
you just got to be.
That reminds me of like another thing at the concert last night. Oh my God. It was these kids. They had to be like 12. they was no taller than like this chair. They was like probably just taller than this chair. But, like, they was there. And I'm like, yo, this is lit. Like,
right.
Nobody was, like, judging him. We was like, yo, this is tough.
As they should. And so like, I should have been doing that when I was 12.
You know what I'm saying? And so they're here at this concert that's, like, could be the first of something great. And mm-hmm. they got the experience. And so I seen them. They was there. So the guy I knew that was, like, sort of headlining, because he was the last person performing. Mm-hmm. So I knew they was kind of there for him.
Aww.
And so when he came out, they was, like, singing all the songs and stuff. He had came up to him, and, like, they was, like, you know, singing the song on the microphone and stuff. And so it got to a point where he was performing, and I'm recording. Like, I'm going up and down. I'm on the stage. I'm off the stage. I'm in the crowd. And I'm like, dang, I could really just change this kid's life right now. Like, so I wanted to do something that I wish somebody did for me when I was younger, if I was, like, in a space like this. So I was like, yo, give me your phone right quick. You want me to record on your phone? He was like, yeah, please, please, please. Aww. So I took his phone, and I went there, and I was like, I was recording, like, really close. And I was like, wait, I could do something else. So I stopped recording, and then I flipped the camera and then put it on the selfie mode,
uh-huh,
and then gave it to my friend that was performing. It was like, here, take it. He was like, doing this, rapping with it. And then he went down and was like recording with him, and then he got his phone back. And I think it got to another point where he was performing, and I'm like, okay, so they did like a small intermission. Like, you know, you like the artists like kind of talk sometime. And so what happened? I forgot what was leading up to the moment. Oh, it was funny. So we was like, he was like, who in here like to smoke? So they started throwing blunts in the crowd. And we was oh, wait, it's kids here. So we started talking to the kids. He was like, yo, is your mom here? He was like, they was like, yeah. He was like, I'm sorry, mom. He was like, hey, what you want? You want some fruit snacks? He was like, yeah, I want some fruit snacks. So we was trying to look for some fruit snacks. We couldn't find fruit snacks. So we gave him like some cookies and some crackers or whatever. We gave him some Chips Ahoy cookies. And he gave his friend the crackers. They had some Ritz crackers are good. So
I love Ritz crackers.
That's what I said. So we gave it to him, and he took it. And I think right before he started performing, so I'm like, yo, just bring him up here. Like, bring him up here. He was like, oh, shit, you're right. So we get the kids under the thing. They come onto the stage, and then they up there for, like, almost the rest of the concert, just up there, like, enjoying it. And then, like,
that's so special.
It went from, you know, the kid just standing there being excited to be there to him actually getting on stage. And I felt good and sort of pioneering that sort of transaction. And not saying I want to take credit for it, but I just felt good impacting that kid's life.
Cause of course.
He probably going to go to school talking about that shit.
Exactly. Stuff like that is life-changing.
That's what I'm saying. And so that might inspire him to do something
else. Exactly.
Or it might take him along another trajectory. But to see, like, to see that happen was just amazing to be a part of. And they was up there enjoying themselves. I think I got pictures. But it's like, all right, well, people will like to like shit on them because, oh, they so young, this and that. But they got the balls to come out here. You know
literally
what I'm saying? So they pulled up. So if they're going
to
pull
And they
up,
know enough about themselves to where they've identified what their music taste
right.
is,
and
what
so,
they like, and what they want to go to.
We might as well hype them up instead of,
exactly,
like, you know, laughing at them and shunning them. Get them up here, man. And we was embracing them instead of making them feel embarrassed for going to something so young. And so mm-hmm. it was amazing to see how we was able to sort of also pivot the age limit of the show, kind of mm-hmm. like, I mean, you know, they throwing weed in the crowd and stuff. We like, wait, chill.
I love it's that kids. You guys were accommodating.
Yeah, we was like, yo, wait, hold on, there's kids right here. So we sort of locked in. It was like, come up. And so it was fun because their mom was in the back too. So it was like, I don't know, that I know that was a life-changing experience for him. And I wish I could see those kids again. They was like so cool. I'm telling you, they wasn't even like 5 foot. They were some little kids, but they was cool though. And
that's beautiful.
Back to the YouTube thing though. That's sort of something I've been falling into because I've always been intrigued with it. And so, what I do now is I do like these weekly reviews. Like every Sunday, I take my camera, I sit it up, and I'll just talk about stuff that I learned throughout the week. And I think I've done like 3 or 4 videos, and I've been doing it for about 3 or 4 weeks. And seeing the views kind of go up always get me excited, not because it might blow up or this and that, but like people are actually seeing it, and I want people to learn these lessons that I'm learning, you know what I'm saying?
Same.
And sort of interact with them. I don't want to do it to, you know, get rich off it one day or anything like that, but I really like impacting people's lives. And so
I do too, and I think I'm trying to like understand a more authentic way to do that, because I feel like the thing about having your TikTok and your Instagram is the fact that like people know you, and some of those people are from your past life, and so sometimes it's a little like weird for them to be seeing your content, because you think like these people are probably thinking, what am I doing? But once I bypassed that and started posting, I was like, okay, like it really doesn't matter. But I think sometimes my target audience is not always around me. Sometimes it's people who are random people online. And like I want to build community in that way. Like, I know there's people out there that think the same way I do or like the same things I do, and I want to experience more of that.
Mm-hmm. And so just going at it was something that gave me that sort of edge. So the first one I did it on my computer, and it was like 8 minutes or so, and I posted it. And the next one, I was like, I'm gonna just put it on my camera. So I set the camera up. I just try to remember everything I did throughout the week. I start to notice that I remember nothing from the beginning of the week. And so I end up talking about the end of the week a lot. And so after, you know, recapping and seeing like, okay, damn, I should probably remember what I did in the beginning of the week, I'm starting to write down like maybe like one big significant lesson that I learned a day. So I got some from Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week. And then Thursday and Friday should be easy to remember because it just happened. So I got my little tiny notebook. I'm going to just read it and, you know, do my video. And I like to label it with, like, the date, so I can kind of keep up with what it is. So it'd be like, what's today? So say I posted one today. It'd be like 0328, and then I do a dash, and then whatever the biggest thing was. And so I think last week was 0321, is it? No, that's 0323 maybe?
I think it's 0323.
Okay, 0323, and then the lesson of that week was, oh man, oh, it ain't personal, it's just business. And I was so offended by I had this customer and over the weekend, and it was just, I don't know, it was a turning point, but it kind of shows you the type of people that you can interact with. And some, it showed me that the amount of boundaries that I have to set when I'm editing or when I'm recording, or like the premises that need to be set before I do something or before I even come record, so I know what I have in mind. Because a lot of things that I do, people just give me all the creative freedom and I could do what I want and they'll pay me for it. This one, they were a bit more particular, and I'm like, yo, like, it's kind of getting annoying. But live by the motto that the customer is always right until you get done working with them, and then you don't gotta work with them no more.
Sometimes though, I don't know if the customer's always right. Like, when it comes to entrepreneurship especially, I'm like, I think when somebody comes to you and they want a service, especially a service that you normally freestyle and like you do what you do, it kind of like takes your creative essence out of it, because then they're like kind of policing what you're doing.
Yeah, and I'm like, bro, I'm like, okay, all right, just give them what they want. One thing I learned sort of growing up was you can't convince everybody that you're right. You know what I'm saying? So
that's true.
One thing I'll just do is like, you know, just give them what they want.
Right.
I give it to them.
This is exactly what you wanted.
If they don't like it, that's not on me. This is what you asked for.
Don't got nothing to do with it.
So I tried, but I can't stop them from seeing their vision. And it'd be too much of an energy waste to sort of try to flip their perspective on it or do this and do that.
I agree.
And so I just get straight through it. And now I know what questions to ask people maybe next time. Maybe different pricing strategies that I can use. Like, okay, I'm going to do it like this. If you want something different, it'd be boom, 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 boom. So I was glad that I had that interaction, because it showed a flaw in the business strategy. And even though a lot of business strategies seem straightforward, even though life may seem straightforward, it's a lot of things that we miss because everything is just going good.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you need those sort of rocky experiences to show you that, okay, this is where you can strategize different or do differently to help propel you in the future. Like, I could have got mad and be like, you know, no, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, boom, 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 boom. But I gained nothing from that. They gained nothing from that. And at the end of the day, I like being an artist. So, mm-hmm. boom, I'm going to give you your art, and then I know what to do next time. And so it was, it's never personal. It's just business. And yeah. so we never established that clear-cut communication of this is what's going to happen, this is going to happen. So I can't get mad at them for, you know, just being themselves, mm-hmm. even though it may irk me. They not doing nothing wrong in their eyes. So it's, I can't, I don't like the, I can complain, but I don't like criticizing people directly, especially if it's nothing that, none of this is written in like writing or in a contract.
See, that's what so I was going to say.
It's nothing that's backing me up or backing them up. So it's really just, what's they call that? Like, for lack of better words right now, like guy code. It's like, all right, look, I got you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's one of those things. It's like a handshake mm-hmm. instead of something like set in stone. Like, I can't take any like real legal action on this or anything like that. So it's sort of just maneuvering and finding a common ground.
I mean, I think sometimes, well, it depends. Yeah. Like with your business, if you have policies, mm-hmm. I think that might be different. But like also with creativity, especially when you start a business, like it's hard to know what you want your parameters to be
yeah.
until somebody steps outside what your like invisible parameters are.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hold on, wait. And then you realize you can't really do anything.
Yeah.
So I feel like all of it is a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like with each experience, even if it's a negative one, you're learning like, okay, here's what I do and don't accept. And that's when you start cultivating like that list of rules or those mm-hmm. guidelines for when you have projects.
Yeah.
So like you said, you kind of need stuff like this to kind of put you on track and see like, okay, moving forward, this is what I know I want. And this is what I know I don't want. And mm-hmm. this is who I'll do business with. And this is who I won't.
Yeah. And so that was a really important lesson that I learned, but you sort of don't get to, I feel like I don't sort of get to see that if I don't do my little weekly reviews, because it'll happen and I'll be irritated about it and then I'll let it go. But me sort of setting it in stone by reinforcing it and recording a video and posting it and being like, this is what I said. Boom. So, okay, I remember I said that. I can just go back and reference for myself.
Exactly.
And I also like doing the YouTube videos because they give me like easy like TikTok videos to
mm-hmm.
post. So I got this TikTok page called Bro We Talking. And after I post the video, I'll just screen record like my favorite clips out of it. Maybe like my favorite just like little 1 minute clips. And I'll just throw them up on TikTok
and
on Sunday
so
night. And it's just so easy. I just boom, 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 boom. And then it goes up, get whatever views it gets. And it's just extremely interesting to see the people that I can interact with and people that comment that be like, yo, I needed this, bro. Like, that's
right.
Hard. Yeah, I'll be like, oh, how
like,
you look?
Every time I'm like, you know what? I'm not finna tell y'all my thoughts no more on TikTok because y'all are not appreciating it. Then somebody will come to me the next day like, oh my gosh, that video you posted the other day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you saw it? Like, because honestly, I feel like we've been trained to think like it only matters if it's viral.
Yeah.
And that's such a sucky way to look at stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you think about even like getting 400 or 500 views, if 400 or 500 people were standing in front of me, that would probably have my heart beating so fast. And I think, like, we need to remember that. Like,
yeah.
Yes, the internet is quote-unquote fake, but these are real eyes.
Yes.
And this does mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And not everything has to be tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
Like, if it is cool, if it's not cool, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's really just about putting out what you want to put out and what makes you feel good to you. And I really have to center myself in that every single day and every time I post.
Yeah, and then, like, even coming to the realization that, one, we're not even supposed to know this many people. In
exactly.
life. And so me getting, you know, 15, 20 likes on a post on YouTube is like, wow, 15 to 20 people like actually like this. Like you were saying, imagine 15 to 20 people came up to you all at once like, yo, I really like that. Yo, I really like that. Yo, I really like
exactly.
that. I feel like a damn celebrity.
Right. You know? Like y'all dapping me up. You enjoyed. Like it's like you're at a real life event when
yeah,
you think about it.
Yeah.
So just being grateful for what feels like, quote unquote, the small numbers, because it actually really means a lot. And no matter what happens or what the outcome is in 5 years or however long, like, it's just great to know, like, I still, all the time I think about Dochi and her journey, because I'm just like, my one coworker, he always used to talk to me about her. And I never kind of listened because I've said, like, I'm slow to listen to new music.
Mm-hmm.
But she just never gave up on herself. Like, she did, like, I love watching her old stuff and just thinking about how you just gotta believe and be happy and just vibe out. And like, yes, strategies are sometimes necessary, but it's also cool to just vibe and see where things go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say she wasn't intentional. She's an incredible performer.
Mm-hmm.
She's extremely talented and multifaceted, but we need to romanticize the journey more, because yes, the journey is what got her here.
The process is right there. It's like it's something that it's going to be there 100% of the time. The mm-hmm. result may not always be there.
Exactly.
But, you know, the process is always going to be there, because the journey is going to always be something that we have to take.
Exactly.
No matter where we're going, it's always better to, you know, sort of, I like to say, like, it's better to walk than fly sometimes, because mm-hmm. along the way, you get to meet so many different people. You get to do so many different experiences. That's why I like road trips, because it's cool to like get on a plane, you know, plan a trip and fly, and then you end up there in like a few hours. But if you take a road trip and you drive and you see all
guaranteed
the different
fun.
Sights, and then you listen to all the different music, having these conversations, sleeping on the side of the road, eating at random restaurants
that you would have never came into contact with.
You know what I'm saying? And people that you probably would have never saw if you would have just took the flight. And nobody like really interacts on flights. So
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not that person who's going to sit next to people quietly. I'd be like, so how you doing?
Where you headed? You know what I'm
saying? Right.
Just, like, a really good conversation to take you a really long way. And that's something that I've learned here, and I've sort of always been aware of growing up. Because my mom used to tell me, like, don't come back without knowing where you just were. And I'll be like, you would think it'd be common sense. Like, of course I'm going to know where I'm at. But if you can't answer the questions of, like, all right, so how many people was there? Or... Who are a couple of people that you meet, and what do they do, and is this and that? And so once she sort of gave me that lesson, every time I come back, I got a story. I know something different about somebody's life. Like,
exactly.
It's just, so that has sort of prepared me to be the person I am today. And it's all about consistently breaking that shell. You know, people think that you're always going to be confident, you're always going to be this, you're always going to radiate that. And so your essence can, but, like, you're still a human. You know, it's not... At the end of the day, we're animals, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, animals can be outgoing, but sometimes they just shy because they scared of what's outside of themselves, and sometimes we can be scared of what's outside of ourselves. And although I've been, you know, this great person, you know, Monday through Thursday, I might be extremely anxious on Friday, and I just, I got to find a way to break myself out of that shell again so I can continue to be and flourish and be this amazing person that I see myself as and want to be.
This one creator that I love, she calls it stretching your rubber band.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like enhancing your capacity for different situations and different scenarios. And I really love how she describes it. And I just totally resonate with what you're saying.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's what it is. I mean, I don't really have much more. Do you have any questions?
Well, I think I'll save my questions for another episode.
Okay, that sounds good. And so do you have... Oh, one last thing. I always do quote of the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, am I giving a quote of the day?
Yeah, you give a quote of the day.
Ooh.
Don't worry, I always leave it to the end. I never tell anybody before they come on. It's like, it's
okay.
Funny.
Okay, let me think. My quote of the day is going to be go outside. And I say that because going outside and being in nature and just being one with yourself, I feel like in college, people really need to be grounded.
Yeah.
Like, so many things can take you out your element or take you out your character. Or just, I don't know. Sometimes I be seeing people and I'm like, oh, you just triggered me. And sometimes we don't take that time to recalibrate. But if you go outside and put your feet in the grass, like, I hate when people say touch grass because they be joking. Like,
yeah.
I promise you, I will go outside and take my shoes off and touch the grass.
Yeah.
Like, just... take a minute to go outside, smell the roses. Oh, what I was going to say to something that you were saying was like, this is going to sound so silly, but more recently I have not been riding my scooter. Like, I've been walking 30 minutes to come to campus.
Yeah.
And it's really just my way of taking a moment to smell the roses.
Yeah.
And I love it. And like, actually, now I know where I've been. Like, I'm seeing things that I never seen before because I'm actually paying attention to the world around me. When I'm on the scooter, everything's moving past me so quickly. Exactly. I'm not seeing anything. But now that I'm actually walking and taking in all this stimuli and just seeing what's around me, it's a different and better experience. And so go outside, slow down, enjoy the day, love on the sun will love on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah. And so, so many different good points that, okay, we'll talk about it later. Maybe I'll talk about it in my weekly review video.
Yes.
But, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate for having you, and thank you for everybody listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.